Welcome back to the Tesla Daily. Today's show is sponsored by Tesla Box, providing real-time Sentry alerts with video and seamless cloud and on-device backup, all via a simple USB connection. Now let's dive into some market mayhem. Tesla's stock volatility in October eclipsed even Bitcoin, hitting a staggering 24% compared to Bitcoin's 11%. This challenges the narrative of Bitcoin being the wild child of finance.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to see this shift. While AMD and NVIDIA also showed higher volatility than Bitcoin, Tesla's more than double the cryptocurrency's range is a significant observation. This data really flips the script on how we perceive risk in the tech sector.
And the daily swings are even more dramatic. Tesla saw a single-day gain of nearly 22%, while AMD plummeted over 10% in one day. These are roller coaster numbers that dwarf Bitcoin's relatively tame fluctuations.
It highlights the different forces at play. While Bitcoin's volatility is often driven by speculation and macroeconomic trends, Tesla's price action seems more tied to company-specific news and market sentiment around its growth trajectory. It's a more reactive, almost impulsive type of volatility.
Several experts suggest Bitcoin is maturing, becoming more of a stable asset with institutional backing. Do you think this October data supports that view?
It's compelling evidence, especially when considering the broader trend. But one month doesn't define a trend. We need to see this play out over a longer period. However, it does raise interesting questions about where investors see true value in an increasingly uncertain economic landscape.
Indeed, the convergence of equity and crypto traders, along with platforms offering cross-collateralization, might further blur the lines between these asset classes in terms of volatility.
Precisely. The lines are blurring. And as that happens, traditional portfolio diversification strategies might need a rethink. Perhaps Tesla, with its tech-driven narrative, is becoming a kind of digital asset proxy in the eyes of some investors.
Let's dive into Tesla's latest move with the Cybertruck. They're finally allowing customizations for the non-foundation models, priced around $79,000. This comes after a successful initial launch of the Foundation series, which, interestingly, outsold the Model S and X debuts. This pricing likely targets the $80,000 cap for the federal EV tax credit.
It's a strategic move. Opening up customizations caters to a broader market segment, especially those wanting specific features within that price range. It also suggests Tesla is confident in Cybertruck demand, even with a slightly delayed customization rollout. But there's an interesting twist in the American-made narrative. Honda's Ridgeline surpasses the Cybertruck with 75% of its content sourced from the US or Canada, compared to Cybertruck's 65%.
That raises some eyebrows, given the focus on domestic sourcing for EV tax credits. While all Tesla Model 3 and Y variants currently qualify for the full $7,500 credit, this could position Honda advantageously in the pickup truck segment, especially for buyers prioritizing domestic manufacturing.
Exactly. It challenges the perception of Tesla as the quintessential American EV manufacturer. This domestic sourcing metric adds another layer to consumer decision-making, beyond brand loyalty and features. It will be interesting to see how Tesla navigates this, especially as other EV trucks enter the market.
Shifting gears to a rather intriguing discussion, Elon Musk seems to be involved in a plan to tackle the US debt crisis, and it involves the meme-inspired cryptocurrency, Dogecoin. Howard Lutnick, CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald and head of Trump's transition team, claims he and Musk have been discussing the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, aimed at cutting government waste.
It's a peculiar narrative, linking Dogecoin to such a serious issue. While Dogecoin has gained popularity, largely thanks to Musk's endorsements, its utility in addressing a $35.7 trillion debt seems questionable. Lutnick's plan to cut $1 trillion from the $6.5 trillion budget sounds ambitious, bordering on unrealistic, without concrete details on where these cuts would come from.
Indeed. Lutnick mentions procurement waste, but that's a vague term. There's a deeper concern here. The rising national debt, fueled by COVID stimulus and inflation, has prominent investors worried about a potential economic collapse. Musk himself has called it a financial emergency.
It's not just Musk. David Friedberg also pointed out the historical precedent of empires collapsing under the weight of debt. This connects to the increasing interest in gold and Bitcoin as alternative assets, seen as hedges against a potential dollar devaluation.
The irony is palpable. While Lutnick discusses cutting government spending and balancing the budget, he also talks about leveraging the U.S. as a $500 trillion asset to generate more revenue. This seems contradictory and raises questions about the overall coherence of the plan.
It also ties into the broader discussion around Bitcoin. Lutnick's significant investment in Bitcoin, Trump's interest in a Bitcoin strategic reserve, and the idea of using Bitcoin to potentially pay off the debt, it all paints a complex picture of how cryptocurrencies might play a role in the future of finance and geopolitics.
Aurora Innovation is pushing back the commercial launch of its driverless trucks to April 2025. This delay, attributed to additional safety validation needs, comes as the company continues pilot programs with major freight carriers like FedEx and Uber Freight.
This isn't entirely surprising. The autonomous vehicle landscape is complex, and ensuring safety on public roads is paramount. While Aurora claims the delay will have a negligible financial impact, it does raise questions about the timeline for widespread autonomous trucking adoption.
They've logged over 2.2 million autonomous miles, but with human supervision. The transition to fully driverless operations is a significant leap, requiring robust technology and regulatory approval. This delay could impact investor confidence, especially given the company's current lack of revenue.
Aurora's recent $483 million raise provides a financial cushion, but the pressure is on to deliver. The autonomous trucking sector is becoming increasingly competitive, and delays can give rivals an edge. This pushback to 2025 underscores the challenges in bringing this technology to market.
Tesla's Model Y is getting a makeover, and it's not just for humans. Reports suggest the refresh, now expected in Q1 2025, is prioritizing canine comfort, particularly in the third row. Apparently, this is influenced by the Chinese market, where competitors offer more spacious interiors.
It's a fascinating angle. While dog mode is a neat feature, redesigning a car's layout for dogs is a whole different level of commitment. It speaks to the growing pet market and the lengths automakers will go to cater to specific demographics. Imagine the design meetings. Are the paw rests sufficiently ergonomic?
It also raises questions about the trade-offs. Are they sacrificing human passenger comfort for canine convenience? How much will this dog-centric design influence sales in other markets? It's a bold move, and it will be interesting to see how consumers react.
And what about cats? Do they get a heated perch? A self-cleaning litter box? Just kidding, mostly. But seriously, this highlights the increasing personalization of vehicles. From software customization to pet-friendly interiors, car makers are moving beyond basic transportation to create tailored experiences.
Let's talk about Tesla and their seemingly unwavering commitment to a camera-only approach for autonomous driving. Ross Gerber, a Tesla investor, suggests the company might eventually admit they need LiDAR. This comes after Zoox's co-founder, Jesse Levinson, also emphasized the need for more robust hardware.
It's interesting how divided the industry is on this. Elon Musk famously calls LiDAR a crutch, but companies like Waymo are heavily invested in it. The debate boils down to whether sophisticated software can compensate for the limitations of cameras alone, especially in challenging conditions like heavy rain or snow.
And of course, cost is a major factor. ARK Invest argues Tesla's camera-only approach is significantly cheaper, potentially allowing them to build their robo-taxi, the Cybercab, at a fraction of the cost of Waymo's LiDAR-equipped vehicles.
But the real question is safety and reliability. Can Tesla's system truly achieve Level 5 autonomy without the added data from LiDAR? The regulatory hurdles for a fully driverless robo-taxi service are substantial, and even Musk admits they might initially need drivers in some areas.
It's a high-stakes gamble. If Tesla can pull it off, they'll have a significant cost advantage. But if they're wrong, they could be left playing catch-up while competitors with LiDAR-equipped fleets gain a foothold in the autonomous ride-hailing market.
Precisely, and the timeline is uncertain. Musk is aiming for a driverless ride-hailing service next year, but the Cybercab itself isn't expected until before 2027. A lot can change in that time frame, both technologically and regulatory-wise.
So, Scout Motors, the revived brand under Volkswagen, unveiled their electric pickup and SUV concepts, the Terra and Traveler. These are slated for a 2027 production start in South Carolina, and interestingly, they'll be available with a range extender powertrain option.
That range extender is key. It directly addresses one of the biggest hurdles for EV adoption, especially for trucks and SUVs, range anxiety. It'll be interesting to see how they implement it and how it impacts overall efficiency.
Absolutely. And Daniel Golson got a close look at the design details. What stood out to you from his report?
The retro-modern aesthetic is a smart move, harkening back to the International Harvester Scout, while incorporating modern EV design language. The boxy silhouette, prominent fenders, and upright stance definitely capture the spirit of the original.
It's a delicate balance, though. Retro can quickly become kitsch if not executed carefully. But from the images, it seems like Scout has managed to strike a good balance between heritage and modernity.
I agree. The minimalist interiors and integrated technology also caught my eye. It seems they're aiming for a functional yet stylish cabin, which aligns well with the overall rugged, utilitarian vibe of the vehicles.
It's all about capturing that specific market segment, the outdoor adventure crowd, the folks who want a capable vehicle that's also environmentally conscious. This is a space where Rivian has seen some success, and it'll be interesting to see how Scout positions itself against the competition.
Competition is heating up in the EV truck and SUV space, that's for sure. But with Volkswagen's backing and a focus on a specific niche, Scout has a real chance to carve out a significant market share.
So OXA is making waves with its self-driving Ford e-Transit vans. They're already operating in the UK and US, targeting logistics, trades, and passenger services. This is a direct challenge to Tesla's Robovan concept, which is still years away.
Exactly. OXA's approach is interesting because they're using existing Ford e-Transit platforms and retrofitting them with autonomous driving hardware. This makes integration into existing fleets much easier, a key factor for businesses considering autonomous vehicles.
It's a pragmatic approach. No need to wait for a purpose-built Robovan when you can adapt proven technology to current vehicles. The speed limitation of 35 miles per hour might seem restrictive, but for many urban delivery and shuttle applications, it's perfectly adequate.
And the fact that the manual controls are preserved offers a crucial safety net. Drivers can take over in challenging situations or when encountering edge cases the autonomous system can't handle. It's a good bridge solution while the technology matures.
OXA's focus on practical, near-term applications contrasts sharply with Tesla's more futuristic and arguably less realistic robotaxi vision. It's a race between pragmatic deployment and aspirational technology. We'll see who prevails.
Indeed, the market will ultimately decide. But OXA's real-world deployments give them a significant advantage in gathering data and refining their autonomous systems. That learning curve is invaluable.
From robotaxis to wraps, the EV world keeps evolving. Alset Auto, initially focused on Tesla, is now branching out to service all EV brands with protective films, coatings, and even colored wraps. They're franchising too. What's your take on this expansion strategy?
It's smart. The EV market is growing rapidly, and catering to all brands significantly expands their potential customer base. It's not just about Teslas anymore. Plus, the franchise model allows for rapid scaling without massive capital investment from the parent company.
Their emphasis on a Tesla-like experience is interesting. What do you think they mean by that?
Transparency and ease of purchase. Tesla's online configurator set a new standard for car buying. Alset is aiming for that same streamlined, no-haggle process for protective services. It removes the friction and uncertainty many customers experience with traditional auto shops.
And their focus on colored wraps, especially for the Cybertruck, seems timely. It's a unique selling point.
Absolutely. The Cybertruck's stainless steel finish is polarizing. Wraps offer personalization and protection, a combination many owners will find appealing. It's a lucrative niche market within a niche market.
Their partnership with Expel also adds credibility. Expel is a well-regarded brand in the protective film industry. It signals a commitment to quality.
Definitely. And the Carfax certification for their services is a clever move. It adds value for resale and simplifies insurance claims. It's a differentiator that sets them apart from smaller independent shops.
It seems Alsat has identified a real market need and is positioning itself well for growth in the expanding EV ecosystem. We'll see how this strategy plays out in the long run. So, to wrap up today's show, let's dive into some mixed signals surrounding Tesla. Stevens Inc. decreased their holdings, yet other institutional investors are increasing theirs. What's your take on this, Sarah?
It's a complex picture, Jason. Stevens Inc.'s move might simply be portfolio rebalancing, not necessarily a lack of faith in Tesla. The smaller investors increasing their positions could indicate growing confidence from a wider range of players. It's also interesting to see such diverse analyst ratings, everything from sell to buy with a consensus hold rating. This speaks to the uncertainty surrounding Tesla's future performance.
The insider stock sales are also raising eyebrows. While not always a red flag, large-scale selling by CFOs and SVPs can make investors nervous. How do you interpret these transactions?
It's crucial to look at the context. Sometimes these sales are pre-planned or part of diversification strategies. However, the volume of sales we've seen recently does warrant attention. It's a data point investors should consider alongside other market indicators. We also have to remember Tesla's high beta, meaning it's more volatile than the overall market. This adds another layer of complexity to interpreting these signals.
Absolutely. Tesla remains a fascinating case study in market dynamics. It's a company that generates strong opinions, both positive and negative. The current mixed signals reflect this ongoing debate. Thanks for your insightful analysis, Sarah. That's all the time we have for today's Tesla Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and analysis from the world of Tesla.